The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. This is our Halloween special edition. This is your favorite show about the paranormal. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara.
Hello.
How are you doing, Kara?
Good.
I don't care.
No.
I quit smoking yesterday.
I think
yesterday.
I know why. Yeah. Oh, did you quit smoking?
I quit smoking yesterday. I'm feeling better now that I'm using Jared as a punching bag. You know, that makes me feel good.
It doesn't make me feel good.
Well, you know, you can just go have a cigarette and get over it real quick, can't you? I can't.
All right, fine. you guys can run the soundboard. I'm leaving.
I'm sorry, Jared. I'll make it up to you. I'll give you a back rub.
Don't make abuse our engineer.
All right.
Actually, you're the host. I think you're allowed to do that. I think you're actually obligated to do that.
So last Halloween, we had no guest.
Right.
By design. And this Halloween, we do have a guest, but by design, it's going to be a little bit looser from our normal topic. We're going to talk about some movies that are supposedly, air quotes, Chance, based on true events.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I had to do homework for this show. I didn't like it.
Yeah. You didn't like watching the movies?
I mean, they were okay. I'm not gonna, you know.
You don't want to jump the.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get to all the suspenseful stuff. Yeah, we have to build it up. We have to introduce this stuff.
All right. So first off, we have our guest. Close friend of mine, movie aficionado, Tyler Stenek.
You got it right, Chauncey.
Stenek.
Close friend. I don't know his last name, but very close.
All right. Tyler, do us a favor and spell your last name.
Z-D-E-N-E-K.
Okay, that's understandable.
All right. So I get a break on
it's,
that one, right?
It's a real doozy. It's a real good way to cut out telemarketers.
That's true. Yeah. As soon as they can't pronounce it, you know that.
They probably just say, is this Tyler, and then they just hang up.
Is this Tyler,
I'm guessing they start in on your last name and just hang up.
Right. It'd be confusing if your middle name was a. You still wouldn't know.
Is this Tyler,
I don't want to be mean here, but if I was a telemarketer, I'd be like, no, they made that up.
Yeah, totally.
Well, they probably have it on a list. That's how.
See, luckily, all the telemarketers are robots now, so they don't have opinions on these matters.
No.
They'll call me no matter what.
That's true. The funny thing is, my last name is Hallworth, and it's pretty, phonetically spelt. And my first name is, you know, a little more squirrely and difficult for things to pronounce. So I'll get these robocalls.
The E is annoying.
Yeah, I'll get these robocalls that are just all, this is a message for Chauncey Artwork. And, like, they don't get my last name, you know, but they nail my first one perfectly.
Well, I don't know. Chauncey's a name.
I guess it is a name. So's Hallworth. It's a town. It's a place.
Yeah, but, you know, you instantly jump to Hayworth. That's like.
I don't see why, though. It's not spelled that way.
No, but I don't know. When I read your last name, I just skip the Y altogether. We're going to talk about horror movies in a second.
All
but
right.
First, last names.
All right. So here is my final telemarketing story. My friend Ben owns Bog Bean Books and Music. When people used to call, his favorite thing to do would be when they called up and said, hi, is Ben Bambauer there? He'd say, hang on a second, let me go get him. And he'd set the phone down and then just go about his business as they sat there for hours.
Yeah, they didn't sit there for hours.
Well,
they hung up after a minute. There was probably a nice break for them.
All right, Tyler. So the first movie that we're going to talk about here is Winchester. We set out to find some movies that are based on true events.
Based on true events.
And, of course, there have been lots of horror movies throughout the years, you know, that are based on true events.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But we tried to find some current ones.
Yes.
And so we're all ready to say it, but I'll let Tyler say it first. What'd you think of Winchester?
It was a real disappointment. I mean, the one favorable thing I could say is that, you know, I feel like since Helen Mirren was probably around for the creation of horror movie tropes, the fact that she's now in a film that uses every single one of them.
Yeah, sort of a showcase. You know,
that's a little ageist. But that's a little ageist.
It was not good.
Yeah, no.
It wasn't great. No.
It wasn't.
I honestly thought you were going to stop at creation.
Yeah.
Which is really unfair for Helen Mirren.
Right, right. Since she is old as dirt. I thought that basically my joke that I told myself as soon as it started was that damn Helen Mirren, you know, because like, it is just like, how does she get connected
with
this?
You think it's a seal of quality that she's in it. You think you're safe when you see her in the credits.
You do.
And then, so wrong. You know, yeah.
Yeah. And,
it's a cruel trick.
And another cruel trick of these movies is that, on a directing level, like on a visual level, they are so, there's such a formula to them. There's all these great filters that people are using that they all cinematically look pretty good. You know, so the movie itself was like, looked pretty good. It was all like kind of dark and well lit and kind of cool and kind of had that sort of like when they're showing the city shots, it kind of had that cool sort of fake Spielberg city shot kind of look. So it like,
yeah,
but so many movies have this that you can no longer rely on that when it comes to movies because it's
yeah,
like
automatically. Yeah. No, you can do that with a million dollar budget or, you know, in the case of Winchester, maybe a couple $1,000 budget. I don't know how much money went to Helen Mirren and how much money went to the making of the film.
Yeah. It makes you ask yourself like, is Helen Mirren crazy, or does she need to fire her agent?
Is that the real psychodrama at play here? We're watching Helen Mirren unravel, and Winchester's just the beginning?
Right.
Well, so you're proposing that this movie was a cry for help?
Well, it might have been.
I mean.
Well, here's my here's my movie factoid about Apocalypse Now, that scene where Martin Sheen is all drunk and going off about his dad is really him all drunk going off about his dad, and he videotaped it. I mean, they filmed it and they used it in the movie, but that's not actually, yeah, it was pre-videotaped, 70s. But, you know, they actually filmed him freaking out about
his
dad.
You know, when you go into a movie theater and they pop the cassette in and the, you know, grainy footage appears on the screen.
I wish, man. You'd see better, see better movies. You know, it really was, I don't know, kind of a, I don't, and plus the guy who starred in it, he was good too. I forget his name now. But he played,
I don't think I actually knew any of the actors other than him.
He played John Connor in
yeah,
Terminator
that's
Genesis.
Where he was from. I couldn't peg it.
Never watched it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked him. I think that he has like a very sort of period piece look. You know, he sort of nails it really well. He definitely pulled off, you know, being a druggie. Or right. what did she refer
did.
To it?
I think we should.
An abuser of substances. I
yeah,
think
that was.
It.
Yes.
That was trope number
user
one.
Of medicine? I don't remember.
Yeah, we need a bell to ding for each of the tropes.
That, trope number one.
That is a movie that is crying out for a drinking game.
All right.
Just have to say.
Tyler,
go on.
Say it again. Trope number one.
Trope number one.
All right.
There we go.
We have a bell.
Best production values ever.
Might as well just jingle.
Right here on Radio Wasteland.
Totally. You might as well just jingle that one like a reindeer, man.
So, guys,
there's a lot.
Why was this movie so bad?
Speaking
as horror movie veterans, whereas I am a horror movie amateur.
For starts, I feel like the ghosts weren't even on the scary end of ghostly.
No.
Right.
What was our first ghost? He was just a gray guy with funny colored eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, that's where the budget went. Those milky white, you know, contacts. Those are those don't cost a buck.
All right, we're going to rip this puppy apart after this commercial break. Come on back
so
and
fast.
We'll tell you exactly why Winchester sucked.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
A jewel of the North States, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Are you struggling financially? Swallowed up in debt? Are you looking to buy a house but are not sure of your credit standing?
What does that credit score even mean?
Why are there three different bureaus?
What score is most important?
Looking for a local expert?
Give me, Joe Rodola, a call. Your credit affects everything from borrowing money to landing that perfect job. With over 40 years of providing financial services, I am committed to helping you achieve your goal. I can provide you with full credit report and in-depth review for only $25. Let me provide you with the tools you need to improve your credit standing and your financial freedom. Give me a call today, Joe Rodola, 941-3021, or on the web at jrdebtconsulting.com. Your local choice in credit repair.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert. Like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're talking about horror movies that are based on real-life events. Totally true, 100% true horror films like Winchester, who we've already just really just kind of tore into pretty bad. You know, we have our...
We're not done yet, though. It's wounded. You've got to finish it off.
Right, right.
It's crawling away. You know, it's stumbling down the stairs.
So Kara and I are sitting here talking to Tyler, and we are talking about how much this movie sucked. You know, during the commercial break, Tyler... said that it made him feel like he was watching a prequel to The Conjuring, and that's kind of what I was saying, like, that everything is so formulaic and there's so many filters and stuff. It really did have that look. Like, they said, like, oh, we want to rip this cinematographer off.
But not the same charm. Not the same charm, Sean.
No, because that's ultimately where the beginning of the failing of this film is, and that is that the writing is just very contrived.
Yeah.
It is.
There was nothing exciting. And one note that I had made to myself was that if it had been the same movie, but not about the Winchester Mystery House, something that has such a stigma and so much going on to it, if it had just been that movie without all that, it probably would have been a little bit better in my mind. But seeing how it was connected to something where I have an expectation,
right,
it really failed.
Well, that takes place in all of four rooms, so...
Yeah, yeah. That's
you know, considering considering the house is, you know, character unto itself. It's a four-room character. It's very small compared to, I think, the original Winchester property.
Yeah, exactly. And, the you know, that's a good point, the house being a character unto itself. You know, that's really kind of the definition of gothic. And right. Gothic horror and gothic romance is that the setting itself is one of the characters, and really, yeah, they definitely fail there.
I think a lot of us probably just watched The Haunting of Hill House, so it's interesting to compare and contrast, because they did very successfully what this movie's clearly trying to do, or maybe what it should have been trying to do and just didn't.
They gave the house personality.
Exactly.
I haven't seen that yet. Is there a ghost in it that's capable of telepathically lifting 24 guns at one time?
No.
Is that part of Haunting of Hill House?
I think that was just Magneto crouching behind the bookcases.
Yeah, that was totally the Magneto scene.
It just, the last half of the movie, for our listeners, spoilers, it just turns into the X-Men, so.
Right. And
that's what it is.
You're making it sound far too exciting.
Okay, so to stick with the premise of
that was
of
a
our
cheesy
show,
scene, is what I'm saying.
The reality of Sarah Winchester is that she lived somewhere on the East Coast. She had the fortune. Her husband died. She was a nut job. She came out here. She built this house, and she continued to build the house. And that's really what we know.
Right.
She did the seances and she did the stuff, but her being architecturally driven by the design, we don't know. Actually, her friends say that she was actually pretty stable of mind. And most of the ghost stories that have to do with Winchester actually have happened well after Sarah Winchester.
Right.
And so on a reality level, based on a true story, it was not. And the shooting in the Winchester factory never happened. That wasn't real. These ghosts weren't real. The characters weren't real. None of it was real.
Weren't even real, Chauncey?
No, no.
Kind of a based on a true story movie is this?
I don't know.
It's based on a true story in the sense that Fargo is based on a true story.
Yeah, or the Blair Witch.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. I'm back on board.
The Blair Witch at least had really good marketing around it. Yeah. You know? So did Fargo, yeah. But, yeah, so none
of Fargo was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah. So I was really sort of disappointed to read that none of this was real. It was basically, to call it based on a true story is really just a brutal, brutal fake news. That's some fake news right there.
Yeah.
Now, I am wondering, have either of you read the Winchester graphic novels?
No.
No.
Is that a thing?
Okay. Yeah, there's a little six-part series that's really well done, and the monster in that is more like her own personal mental anguish.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, it reminds me much more of that, the Del Toro movie, the recent one.
Oh,
the House That Bleeds Red.
Oh, Crimson Peak.
Yeah, it reminded me more of Crimson Peak.
Yeah, another gothic, great gothic movie, you know. I was obsessed with gothic romance novels. I don't think romance is really, it's a bit of a misnomer. They're basically...
Oh, you mean romance in the sense of, like, romantic writers.
Right.
The romantic period.
Right. So it's basically these sort of, all these horror books that are basically, have some innocent girl who's sent to some sort of large building, either in an old house or an insane asylum or a church or something, and then crazy stuff goes
Post
on.
Post office, a deli, right. A department store.
A deli. So, yeah, I was very disappointed, and I've been to Winchester Mystery House. Have either of you guys ever been there?
I've been there.
Yeah, and it's cool when you're in there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's neat, and, you know, hearing about Sarah Winchester, like, I would have been perfectly happy just watching a documentary about her inventions, because she's got a lot under her belt.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, as a guy who sort of makes his living. So at night, I entertain myself by doing radio, and during the day, I make my living by advertising other people's stuff. As being that guy, I feel that I had more imagination walking through Winchester Mystery House than the movie makers did.
Yeah.
You know, and really, that it really just brings me back to, how do these actors get stuck in these roles? You know, how does that happen? You know, do they sign on in the beginning and then they're just stuck and no matter how terrible it goes, you're there?
Multi-part movie deals?
I do not know.
Yeah, that's a good point. So when they're signing, do they sign for like a big movie and a crappy movie?
Maybe.
Or like a risky movie, maybe is a better way to put it. Because like...
Was this a risky movie, though? Because they made... Every decision they made was as safe as it possibly could have been. That's ultimately why it was bad, really, is because they didn't take any chances with the material.
Well, the big thing in the horror movie scene that they're talking about right now is like the equivalent of the Trump factor. It's the It factor. The movie It was so popular that they're expecting horror movies over the next year to actually get
all
a lot
right.
of revenue.
I was not brought up. I looked at the budget, Chauncey. Okay. Production budget of $3.5 million. So that's why they made this movie.
So if you're looking at the budget, did it say what its opening weekend return was?
Opening weekend, not sure, but total worldwide take was $41
million. So. Holy smokes, I should have invested in that piece of crap. That's terrible.
No, this profited in the same way Adam Sandler movies profit.
At the expense of all of us?
This is the true horror that we're covering in this show, is the mediocrity of human existence.
I guess I have to address that as well. As a horror movie fan, so I feel that every genre... you know, a great movie fulfills all the criteria of every genre, but each genre kind of has its thing that it needs. A drama needs good acting, and a mystery or science fiction needs great writing, and a horror movie needs great imagery. And, you know, there's those movies that transcend all of them, like The Shining has all of those things.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
But this movie, you know, Tyler, you said something that really struck a nerve with me that I was thinking and I wasn't really able to put into words, and that was
Jared showing me a thingy looks like the opening weekend was $9.3 million.
Jeez, man, what a return. That is just terrible. But we've landed in this world where ghost stories are just showing the ghost standing there.
True.
It's like effects have come
really did nothing.
Yeah, effects have come like such a long way. And they just show the ghost standing there, you know, and it's like, you know, I'm all for practical effects, you know, but let's get something ethereal going on. Let's get something psychedelic.
Is that too practical for you, Chauncey?
Yeah, totally.
Making a man gray and giving him glowing contact lenses.
Yeah, in Carnival of Souls or Night of the Living Dead, I'm cool with that, you know. But
in a ghost movie, I do want more, though.
I do, too. I want some...
He could have turned into smoke.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of windows. Did we even get a window breaking in this film?
No.
I mean, that would be another trope, so pick your point.
It would be.
Basically...
No, I did find a fun fact, though. I want to tell you guys the worst thing about Winchester. So, according to Wikipedia, Lionsgate bought the film and photography rights to the Winchester Mansion for the film... So now tourists are not allowed to take any pictures of the interior of the mansion because a tourist photo would be in direct competition with a Hollywood movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so this is a travesty against mankind. This movie is an atrocity.
All right, well, we're coming up on a break here, so I'll throw this in. If you're interested in seeing Winchester, save yourself the time and go watch the remake of 13 Ghosts or something. Right. It's a better movie. It's still silly and full of all the tropes, but it's just a better movie.
Right.
And young Matthew Lillard. I mean, who can say no to that?
Who can say no to young Matthew Lillard? Ain't that right? All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we're going to talk about Veronica.
Thank you. Paid for by Brian Daly for Assembly, 2018.
Since going to the state legislature in Sacramento, Brian Daly has kept his promise to the people of Northern California. Brian's focused his time and energy on creating jobs while voting against regulations and taxes. Brian has worked across party lines to save our rural hospitals, skilled nursing facilities, and biomass plants and programs that actually produce jobs for young people. Brian even hosted over 100 legislators to the North State to educate them on our rural way of life. And as a testament to Brian's integrity and work ethic, Brian was elected by his peers to be minority leader in the legislature. But there's still much to do, and problems still need solving. So let's re-elect Brian Daly to the State Assembly on November 6th.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Light Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million people in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Among women, breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death. Early detection and treatment is a key, along with prevention. Reduce your risk by exercising more, drinking alcohol less, and eating a healthy diet. If you're over 40, have a regular screening and mammogram.
This message brought to you by Dr. Pomela DeNuca and Base Cancer Center on Court Street in Reading. Positive attitude, care, and excellence.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland. There's a great song from Maximum Overdrive. You know, we are talking horror films. These have all been songs from horror films. That was from Maximum Overdrive. Earlier we had one from Fright Night, of course.
That's obviously. Yeah.
Pet Cemetery from the Ramones, from the mm-hmm. from Pet Cemetery.
From all the popular these movies you should watch this Halloween.
Right, all quality films, except for maybe the one we're going to be bumpering on the way out with, which is going to be Phantom of the Mall, so that's a little questionable, but...
Phantom of the Deli.
Right. all right, so our next movie we're going to talk about that's supposedly based on true events was a little more transparent with its lack of accuracy.
This one was a little closer, although I did look it up later. And
right.
There were some very major liberties. I don't really want to spoil the ending.
Right. It's like actually that, worth watching. But the movie we're talking about here is Veronica, and it's a Spanish movie. And for those of you out there who are confused on what that means, it means it's from Spain, not that it's from Mexico. The movie is from Spain.
Yes.
Although there are great horror films
in Madrid.
From Mexico as well. But I really liked it. What do you think, Tyler?
I liked it. My biggest question exiting that film is, can I look at a lunar eclipse through a film negative?
I'd
love an answer to this.
Yeah, and if you can't, I feel that that's pretty irresponsible to put in the movie.
I'm pretty sure you can.
You can? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
My buddy Chris was a welder, and we went and watched the eclipse here in Reading, and we had to not only wear his welding mask but have something else in front of it because his welding mask alone wasn't strong enough.
Oh, wow.
You know, so, I mean, it's got to be strong. I mean, that thing's going to burn a hole in your puppies.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, the first thing that I thought about with it is my horror movie snootiness. I am a snooty, hardcore horror movie fan. I have been literally for decades. I've seen just about everything. And so a lot of the times when a movie comes out, you know, this movie had such stuff around it, people saying like, oh, it's so terrifying and people can't even finish watching it and people are passing out and blah, blah, blah. You know, and so when I saw it, I was thinking,
it's a little overhyped.
Well, of course, it was overhyped, you know. I mean, you know, Jared was reading me all the reviews about how absolutely terrifying it was, which is why I watched it. Am I misquoting this?
No, I literally heard that people had to stop watching it halfway through.
Yeah.
And I believed it. And then you watched it, and you're like, whatever.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
it's really not.
Did they screen it for a bunch of kindergartners, and that's who gave these...
I mean, people stop watching Reservoir Dogs halfway through. People
has to watch it, stop watching a movie halfway through, is they either have some serious religious beliefs or they need some counseling. Yeah. You know, something to cope with some past trauma that they're just not. I mean, I have never seen a movie that I'm just all like, oh my God, I just can't handle this.
I think maybe some people are probably more high strung.
Maybe what, Tyler?
I said maybe a lot of haunted people had to leave the movie theater.
Yeah, that's true.
They're like, this is really close to home, ghost buddy sitting in the seat next to me. Let's get out of here.
Right. Well, here's where my snootiness came into play. And, like, I'm watching it and I say, okay, well, one reason why people think that this is so scary and so cool is because it's something very new to them. But as a fan of horror films, if you followed any sort of horror films out of Spain or Italy from the late 70s on, this movie had very much a look and a feel that is very similar to movies from that part of the world. You know, it was not shocking. It had this kind of like retro modern thing where it was obviously trying to throw some throwback Dario Argento fanness or Gallo film fanness, you know, thing. It also had this weird thing that these European movies have, and I'm not sure how to say it in a PC fashion. But they get a little too comfortable with young girls coming of age. I don't know. They show them in a light that's like really wouldn't fly here in American movies. Do you guys see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but I think also.
What about like Carrie or hell, even It?
Yeah, I think it's also culturally it's, you know, a bigger deal.
Yeah, no,
that could be it.
I agree. It's just weird to see where they sort of are like, you know, sexualizing a 15-year-old girl, you know.
Yeah.
And you don't really see that in American films. You'll get the implication of it. But, you know, and don't get me wrong. There was nothing like specifically racy about this, but there was just something about their delivery of this girl that is sort of common of European films. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But the one thing that I did really like it is, it's been a long time since I saw an exorcism or possession movie that didn't remind me of The Exorcist throughout the entire thing. You know, and I felt that this one was different.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought they did do a good job when, you know, she is possessed and they're showing, you know, spoiler alert, her, you know, screaming with her face all contorted, mouth back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
shows a good camera angle. I don't know if they did any digital effects to make her mouth look bigger, but it certainly
has
that spooky feel to it.
Yeah, like that freaky thing in The Ring when they'd show, like, the corpse and it's all like, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think we're allowed to spoiler affect this one because, you know, it came out in 2017. You know, what is the cutoff date at this point when you can spoiler things?
I don't know what the spoiler statute of limitations
is. I believe we
is,
had an argument about this outside.
All right, once. What did we come up with, Jared?
I don't know. I think Sean Kara, sorry.
Okay, we have to do the whole show again now, Jared. Great.
I think you came
start
up with
start it
that.
Over. Let's talk about Winchester.
Oh, no.
See what you've done. Recall, you've made us talk
gonna,
about Winchester.
I was going to say, I think you had the most definitive answer.
But it couldn't have been that definitive because I don't remember what it was.
All right, Tyler, what do you think? How long does
like
a movie have
years,
to be out
I don't know.
Before we're allowed to just sort of huck spoilers around?
I'd say a month.
1 month? Oh, that's way shorter. I was thinking like 6 months, and I think Kara said a year.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a year is about what I'd think.
I don't know. Working in an office environment, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
oh, yeah, that is what I said.
I said once it came out on DVD.
Once it's on DVD, because at that point, anyone in the world can pirate it. So it's like...
So now we based it off of pirating.
I mean, don't we?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense, you know. Not that I would ever do that. But.
Well, neither. Right. But it's like, you know, you don't have time to go see it in the theaters. Maybe it didn't come to your town, okay. But once it's on the internet, you have no excuse to not have seen it.
Right. And for those of you listening, Veronica is actually on Netflix.
For about $20, you can call up Helen Mirren and she'll actually watch Winchester with you. So that's what I do.
Oh, poor woman. That poor woman, man. You're going to feel...
She's accessible. She's made herself far too accessible.
Yeah, totally. Totally. She might as well start acting on TV. Yeah. All right. So the reality of Veronica. The reality of Veronica is about the reality of any biopic, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
At best, it's about 50%. So think about biopics you've seen. You see Ray, you see the Buddy Holly story, you see these movies. You're looking at about 50%.
Right.
You know, I would say Veronica is as good on a based on true story level as any biopic.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's mostly, you know, the things that happened weren't as dramatic when they happened in real life, and they didn't happen in the same order.
Right, yeah.
But it's, other than that, it's still mostly, you know, the same stuff.
And she was a single child in real life, right?
Yeah, I think she was, yeah. But...
Yeah, and that's a huge departure, because that's a really big part of, like, the horror of the movie, is that she has to be the mom for all these little kids, and she's really not prepared to do that.
Right.
Yeah, see, I thought it was going to lean harder into that aspect.
Yeah, well...
Because her mother's working and out all the time, and, you know, all of these terrible things are happening, basically, mm-hmm. because her mother's not there.
Right. Yeah,
she even says the monster doesn't come when her mom's home, so that's like, give her away.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah.
From what I've read about the actual case, she actually showed signs of mental illness long before this. Mm-hmm. You know, so she, had some problems. You know, and so we're coming up on the break here, but when we come back, let's talk a little bit about that and sort of like when it comes to the reality of possession, you know, what's going on with possession and, and all this stuff. Is it real? I don't know. All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
We don't got much in this town, but it's been good enough for me. Don't need no frozen yogurt, don't want no tissue. Just want a chance to grow up in the same town where I met you.
is a very hard-working person, and he listens to his people.
David Kehoe is one of the most honest public servants that I have ever seen.
As a third-generation U.S. Army veteran, I support Supervisor David Kehoe for re-election because of his unfailing support of our veterans.
The best quality about Dave is that he is so approachable.
You just couldn't ask for a better supervisor than him.
I'm David Kehoe, candidate for Supervisor District 1. I'm firmly committed to a safer community by increasing jail beds and supporting law enforcement. As your supervisor, I have a record of voting for jobs and economic development to help increase revenue for public safety. I will always strive to improve the safety and quality of life for the people of Shasta County. I welcome your support and vote.
Paid for by Kehoe for Shasta County Supervisor 2018.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Yeah, sure. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. That was the Dickies from the movie The Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Absolutely terrible, great movie.
A classic.
A classically terrible film. Yeah. All right, so Veronica is about possession, and we're talking about the reality of the situation, and so we can't really do that without addressing the potential reality of possession. I personally have a hard time with it. You know, I've known a lot of people who, like, are really freaked out by The Exorcist, let's say, but to them it's reality, and to me it's fantasy. I don't have those beliefs.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I don't know. What do you think about possession, Tyler? What do you think about the possibility?
All right. Well, I will tell you this. When I was about 24, I was staying up late and was out on my parents' back porch having a cigarette, and I saw a glowing orb move through my backyard. Now, it cast its own light source, and I specifically did not go down and touch it because I didn't want to risk possession. So,
or electrocution from lightning.
Either of those things.
Right. So I feel...
Can it happen? I don't know, but I'm not willing to court it, I guess.
Right.
Right. Well, your belief in something as so unbelievable as possession is obviously and appreciatively offset by your belief in something as so scientific as electricity. So that's good.
That is good.
I think the possession is possible. You know, I really liked Insidious because Insidious sort of had this concept of possession that was sort of outside of religion. It was more astral projection and stuff like that. And I thought that that was really kind of cool to have this, you know. In looking into the realities of this, I read a little bit about schizophrenia.
Yeah.
And so schizophrenics here in America and in Christian countries often are hearing the voices of and having visual hallucinations of religious stuff.
Sure.
The interesting thing is, in other countries, they don't. So, in Japan, schizophrenia doesn't, like, have Shinto or ghosts or demons from their culture. Really, what they focus on is shame and failings. Mm-hmm. And in India, they sort of focus on paranoia about your neighbors and what they're up to. So, it is interesting to note that here in Christian countries, that a large part of our healthcare system, especially for the mentally ill and stuff like that, historically has been done by the church. And this might be where that connection lies, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's
that is deep
very
for,
true.
For the last quarter of the radio show, Chauncey. That's a starter topic. Right?
Yeah, well, we got to end on a gem, man. We got to remind people what this show is really about, you know. You know, it's hard for me to even believe in the idea of exorcism. I looked up a bunch of them on YouTube, and I don't know. I love YouTube, but you can't believe a single thing you see on
there. No. Yeah, I'm pretty iffy on it myself. I think it might be, there might be some tiny shade of reality to it, but no one's, like, dying or being chased around their apartment by, you know.
I mean,
demons without some pre-existing, you know, problem. That's the real problem.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the thing with possession, it's just as provable as anything else we haven't proved scientifically yet. So.
Right.
But at the same time, so many people believe in hauntings. So many people believe in ghosts, and so
I'd kind of put possession in the same bucket as that, personally.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it is easily.
Maybe 50-50 on the idea of both of those things.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and guess that it's even more believed in than UFOs, you know, ghosts and hauntings. You know, that there are more people with more experiences and stuff like that, at least in my experience in life. And that's before doing this radio show. You know, everybody seems to kind of have a story. I mean, Tyler just had a story.
Yeah. I have stories.
I don't. You know, I've never actually seen anything other than...
Well, you need to summon more demons.
Boring, stark reality, you know? It's terrible.
Maybe reality,
both Kara and I are going in on a Ouija board for you, Chauncey, so it's not too late.
That was one thing that I liked about the movie. So one reason why the movie probably found success was there's been this huge uptick in movies about Ouija boards in horror films and a huge uptick in movies about crazy nuns. And so this movie had both of those. You know.
Your two classic elements of horror movies, Ouija boards and crazy nuns.
Well, you know, Catholicism is you know, Christianity on the whole, and for anybody who's Christian out there, just, you know, look at the history. I'm not coming down on Christianity. On the whole, it's the product, you know, literally 50% of our horror films are somehow based in Christianity. I have a decent knowledge of the Bible because of my obsession with horror films. I really do.
Huh.
You know, Jeopardy comes up. I do all
That's
right.
That's kind of funny.
Terry, my wife is Christian, and she looks at me, and she's all, how do you even know that? I'm all, oh, you know, that was...
Yeah, in the end times, you're going to be Van Helsing it up, you know. Totally. I mean, you're not going to be raptured, let's be clear here, but you're going to be, you know, you're going to be around hunting the monsters for the people who are left. So that's good. You're prepared.
That's true. So ultimately, we give Winchester a fat thumbs down.
Right.
And we give Veronica a...
I don't know, a thumb at a 45-degree angle upward.
Yeah,
maybe.
I was going to say a loose Fonzie, like, eh.
Yeah. Definitely. It's like when Fonzie's phoning it in for the ugly chick. What? Is that not acceptable?
I don't even know anymore.
I don't either. I don't know. I don't know.
Good but thing we're pundit.
If I can't make fun of how people look, what can I make fun of?
Yeah.
Winchester. Winchester there always
we go.
Forever.
We've come full circle.
Yeah, Winchester's like the only one. Dude.
And how old Helen Mirren is.
Oh.
I thought this is how we began the show. I didn't start
it. It's true. I got to say, though, for how old Helen Mirren is, she looks really, really, really good.
I don't know how old she is, actually.
She is well into her 60s, probably in the 70s.
I thought you said old as dirt? If I...
Yeah.
There's her, some young
Tyler said old
there,
as creation.
You know.
Yeah, okay.
Chauncey lives on a fairly new homestead, so the dirt is actually quite old. Yeah, for him, it's accurate.
Yeah, yeah. I do. I do.
Grinds down rocks every day to make some new dirt.
My apartment complex was built like 20 years ago. So, you know. But, you know, so I was disappointed across the board.
You're not mad.
You're
just
the reality. I guess before the show ends, do any of us know a horror film that we really feel was accurately based on some sort of reality?
A true story?
I don't know. I love Ravenous, and I always will.
Yeah, Ravenous was awesome. Without a doubt. The setting was very much a true story. I don't know if the story was true, but the setting was an awesome, cool setting for a horror film, sort of the colonial post-Civil War Old West. Is that?
Yeah, and that, there were enough stories that are similar to that that definitely happened.
Yeah. Supposedly The Entity is very much based on. So they actually had this woman who was repeatedly being sexually assaulted by a ghost. And it happened to her while she was in being watched and hooked up to all the electrodes and stuff. Huh. And that movie is about that.
Well, that's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
You should watch it.
I'm sure you will. Because, as I've told you...
But not in a creepy way.
I've told
it
you,
just sounds like a good movie.
I've told you 1,000 times, Carrie, you remind me of my daughter. And basically, if I bring up something totally messed up, I know that she's going to run upstairs and go watch it just because she wants to know how messed up it actually is.
Man, Schoolhouse Rock is like the most messed up thing I've ever seen. I don't know about you guys.
Wait, what?
I figured if she was listening, Chauncey, I want to hedge your bet.
Oh, thanks. She's 23, though, so, you know.
You're never too old for Schoolhouse Rock. Come on.
Yeah, totally.
Carl Sagan videos. Horrifying.
Totally.
Just horrifying.
Have you seen the remake of, what was it? Oh, man, I totally forgot it now.
Cosmos,
yeah. Have you seen the remake of Cosmos? Oh, my gosh. You know? The end is amazing. Yeah. You got to watch it all the way through to the end.
Right.
All right, so you've been listening to Radio Wasteland. We've been talking about which movies are good and which movies are bad and if they're based on real situations. And we've come up with bad, decent, no, and no. Thanks for checking us out for our little Halloween fun. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Tyler.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew.